It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And if all the stars have aligned correctly, we have both Cynthia and Janet. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey. Yay. Not only that, they just aligned for the first time in 12 hours.
Right. So there that's a plus. Well, it's nice to have you two on board after missing last week, of course, because of the power situation. And
power, internet, everything. You know, when you first said, when Cynthia was saying, gee, I don't know if we should try to do radio because of all the, you know, difficulties we're having here, I thought, well, I have a landline at home that is on anyway, and, you know, I think internet will be on at the Journal by then. Well, nothing was on.
No.
And the landline I have, which I keep just so it'll be a communication device during this kind of situation, went out after 2 days, which in 2011 it lasted for 7. Anyway.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. If you have an old-fashioned landline and it's not a speakerphone, you know, but it's actually hooked to the wall, 99.9% of the time it won't go out because the wires are so encased in rubber that when trees fall on them, they stretch. They don't necessarily break.
Right.
But when you have so many trees lying on so many things for so long, sooner or later, gravity takes over.
that's right. And we can only fight it for so long. So we missed you all last week. Listeners, I hope everybody made it through all right.
We're just
part of the 0.01% is somewhat disconcerting.
We're just glad that finally it was yesterday. It was our first day without the generator. Yesterday was.
Yeah.
Once again, the people who live around us, God bless them, because that generator was going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
And, except when it ran out of fuel.
Particularly when it ran out of fuel once, yeah.
We have an article coming up for, I think, next week's issue about how many people called me up, and my friend Dave, and said, do you know how to put fuel in my generator? Or like, did you know that you need fuel to run your generator? So we're interviewing Richie Crane.
No, it's true.
I
can go back to a story years ago when WKZE, an employee bought a lawnmower, and after a week came to me and said it worked fine for the first week, but it didn't work. I went up there, and of course they had put gas in it, and he didn't realize it ran on gas.
Yeah. Yeah, we had somebody say that my generator worked fine on Monday, and then it stopped working Tuesday. And I was like, did you know that you have to put more fuel in it? But also that was part of the problem at the gas stations is that you had people filling up not just – there were only a couple of gas stations open, and they were filling up not only their vehicles, but they were also filling up their barbecue grills and their propane tanks and, you know, whatever power equipment they needed to take down trees. Anything that took gas, they were picking up at the gas station.
Yep.
It was a very busy time.
I want you to know on your front page, you have a picture there of the Sharontown Hall and trees and wires down.
Yeah.
You see those big dark wires coming out of the top of that going to the right?
Uh-huh.
Those are wires that came to Robin Hood Radio.
Oh, okay.
So the minute we saw that and I saw that the transformer was lying on the green, I said to Jill, this is going to be a long time.
Yeah. I was surprised that there's a camera on those wires. I hadn't realized that before.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy. Anyways, well, so your lead story, really, with you and Patrick Sullivan and everything, the power coming back to the area. Eversource, once again, for the second time in 12 years, has a massive failure. And we're back to where we were after that big October snowstorm.
Yeah, we generally sort of we generally enjoy working with Eversource. We find them to be on top of it. But this was really, I would say, shameful. And the wordage that was coming to us from the Eversource PR people was getting more and more frantic and desperate. And as the week went along, but I had to go to Avon 2 days ago. And on my way toward Avon, we were starting to see trucks in Lime Rock. And on the way back, suddenly you were seeing just, you know, an army of power company trucks and tree company trucks from all over the country, which was incredible. And it makes you realize how during that week when everybody was saying, I haven't seen a single power truck, really, for the most part, we generally do see them here and see them pretty quickly. But really, there was nothing for days. And, you know, happily, at least now they're all out.
And, well, there was one person in each town. The person who's always there.
Yeah.
They couldn't do everything.
Well, anyway, so we got through that, and now we'll look back and we find out exactly when Eversource will be replacing their CEO at $11 million a year, because you know that's the next step that's going to happen.
Well, and our attorney general and our governor, who are super mad at Eversource, are just before the storm. Eversource had quietly said, oh, by the way, we're doing a rate hike, a significant rate hike, and Lamont and William Tong, the Attorney General, is like, actually, no, you're not. And so that's being investigated. But boy, if Eversource really wanted to make a good case for itself to get a rate hike, they did not fulfill customer needs in a way that's going to make the regulatory authority organization say, like, oh, yeah, sure.
And the bad thing for Eversource is that if you go right across the state line to Dutchess County, where NYSEG and Central Hudson face the same problems, they had power restored almost 55 to 60% quicker.
But also in Massachusetts, which is also Eversource country, they were back almost immediately. Yeah. We had some friends up in Northampton who said they got it back within 12 hours.
Yeah, so this was just a complete fail.
Giant fail.
Well, so we will go on from the fail to a story that got lost in all of this, and that is the fatal fire that happened in North Canaan.
Right. Very, very sad story. Very hard. You know, I think that it's important to think about our fire volunteers. I think it's hard even for professional emergency workers when somebody dies in a situation where they're at work. Very unusual to have a fatality here. As I understand it, the story was that there was a woman in her 50s who had cerebral palsy living with her mother and her stepfather in a ranch house in North Canaan, I think Old Turnpike Road. And they don't know the cause of the fire, but there is speculation that it was a cord related to a generator. And the parents couldn't get the daughter, the mother and stepfather couldn't get the daughter out. And by the time that they were able to get her out of the building when the firefighters arrived, she was pronounced dead at the scene. And, you know, horrible, horrible thing for the parents, obviously, but also very traumatic for the firefighters. And,
You know, the first day of the power outage, Stan McMillan called into the radio station and read the Riot Act to people about generators. And that if they were going to go out and get generators, to have them professionally installed because they can kick back and they can kill the people that are restoring the power, and that you can hit carbon monoxide. And he went through the whole nine yards, which we played several times, which I think under circumstances people don't realize really how dangerous generators. They're like kerosene heaters. They're just really dangerous if they're not used correctly.
And when they're running for 8 days, as they were. So that's, again, why we're talking to Richie Crane next week, because there's a lot that you need to know about where you put it. I mean, a friend of mine, I remember after the October 2011 snowstorm, wonderful man, and, you know, had his generator installed inside the house and died of carbon monoxide poisoning. So really a lot to know, and definitely an item that you need to have serviced every year, no matter what, because as we see here, you don't know what time of year you're going to lose your power. It's not always in winter. You need to have it filled up, have a professional come in and take a look at it.
All right, we'll get away from this for a second, and there's something pretty special coming to the Amenia Drive-In for September 12th, and it features a good friend of ours, Jane Strong, where it's really an open-up for the Equus Effect.
Jane Strong and her partner, John Brett, are two of the most compassionate, wonderful, and not just compassionate, but like go out and get something done about it kind of people, and so Jane started the Equus Effect, which originally was working with soldiers who were returning with a lot of PTSD and helping them get back to a more stable state by working with the horses on the farm. And now they're working with emergency workers, and they're doing a fundraiser. They have very hugely supported fundraisers. Normally they do them on the farm. This year they're going to be doing it in Amenia at the drive-in and showing the movie about Buck the Horse Whisperer. It's going to be on September 12th. It's going to sell out pretty quickly, so we want to try and get this article in as quickly as possible. People should definitely go online. Obviously, a limited number of tickets for sale.
All right, as we look at a story in between those two, and that is the one benefit was of all these storms and all these roads being closed is that the recreational facilities were not abused or could not be abused.
Even though it was super hot this week. I almost never have the air conditioning on, and I had it the last couple of days. So as I was driving here, of course, I drive by the Great Falls, and I cross over the bridge, and the tape is still up. And, boy, you really have to – there's no way that you can be mistaken in going down some of those trails and into those parking areas. They are very definitely marked, and there's even a towing company sign up on one of the parking areas, which surprised me. I've never seen one of those here. But still, over by the access point to the Appalachian Trail – the little turnoff over what used to be a racetrack, somebody has just pulled over the tape and the barriers, and there's people parking along the side of the road and going hiking. So, of course, we're happy to have people come here and hike and come here and swim, but it has to be done safely in the areas that are set aside for it.
And looking further inside the paper, a couple of people that I've known for many, many, many years on different levels, when I did my one appearance in TriArts, Barbara Thibodeau, who was really put together costumes and the wardrobe, passed away. And somebody, I think just about everybody in this area knows, Tom Hussey passed away.
Yeah, I saw your Facebook. That was a very well responded to. Like, I didn't know him. Of course, we all know Emmett, who's his son, who's running the painting business. But very interesting life. And also Barbara Thibodeau, the widow of Jerry Cramp, who is, you know, they're both very stalwart, active in the community. Jerry for many years on the Sharon Board of Ed, and Barbara just so full of surprises, just the many things she was great at. And, of course, you know, we always feel every time we lose somebody in our area, it's a great loss to somebody.
All right. And Patrick Sullivan with a story on civil disobedience.
I thought this was so funny. Noble Horizons has got a class going with a Hotchkiss School professor named Thomas Fisher, and it's all about civil disobedience. And when you consciously break the law because you feel that it's called for. So he's doing a multi-part class on civil disobedience at a time when I think many people are feeling like it's called for. So it's Wednesday evenings or Thursday mornings, I believe. If you go into Patrick's article, you can find out how to sign up for the couple classes that are remaining.
All right. On the how about the Sharon Triathlon kept its pace even during COVID-19?
Right, and also the Kent Summer Sale. So Kent had their August Summer Sale. They changed it to, you know, shop safely. And a few stores were planning to have outdoor tents and everything, you know, with COVID, social distancing, et cetera. And most of Kent lost power for a pretty long time. And yet they managed to get a few stores out and open, and the sales will continue until August 25th. So bravo to them. And then Matt Meddy set up the Sharon Sprint Triathlon, which is, you know, that's a big organizational task. And he had already said before the storm came, we're not really publicizing it that much. We're really, you know, because of social distancing, we don't want to have a ton of people turn out. I think they had 50 people, and I would say very few of them were names that I recognized from the area. You can go into Gray House and you can look at Greystone Racing and look at the race results, but really great photos by Hunter Lyle and a nice write-up about it. And the winner was Jack McCarron of Kent.
All right, and I love the picture of Janet and Coffee Bean, the woman who did the 30-mile trek with her dog on the Appalachian Trail.
You can never tell with dogs whether they're smiling or they're just really thirsty, but that dog looks like he's having a good time out hiking. And so, of course, the Appalachian Trail was closed for the beginning of the hiking season. Some people are still doing the through hiking, but normally we have our reporters out kind of talking to through hikers. So far, we've only talked to section hikers, which makes me think maybe there aren't that many people, but it's, you know, still at Lavons and at the normal places where you normally see hikers. I don't know why, but at Lavons, I've seen extra interesting ones. I saw a man who was, you know, clearly a hiker, clearly gone a long distance, and was sitting and reading the Financial Times on the bench outside. And it made me realize, like, wow, a lot of people are actually unemployed right now, and maybe this is their moment when they're finally fulfilling a dream of hiking the trail. And then I saw two guys yesterday that had their own portable umbrellas, which are very useful, I think, in this incredible heat. So we have a few more Appalachian Trail hiker profiles coming up, and we will continue to snag them as we see them.
All right, let's go on to the opinion page. And Janet, you have about this being a historic storm.
Yes, in many ways, but lots of trees coming down, so many people out of power, and such a bad response that, you know, it becomes a benchmark and where we go forward from here and what the state is able to do to keep the power companies accountable, you know. You know, we sort of want to let our readers know we were in the same boat, of course, and we wonder what's the first thing anybody did when the power has come back on. We certainly hope that by now almost everyone, I believe, is back with power and Internet, though it's still sketchy. We still have internet going off and on in Salisbury that we have heard from people. And, you know, it's when that thunderstorm rolled through this week, there were still people who lost power again and created these fears of when will they get this back on. But anyway, we're thanking everyone, including Marshall and Jill and all at Robinhood Radio for keeping communication going and all those line workers and volunteers and neighbors who help neighbors, and we have a couple of stories that we've heard from people trying to make their way through the rubble and get back home.
You know, what's interesting about what happened at Janet, and I spoke to several select people over the course of the weekend. Back after we had that October, the year before Superstorm Sandy, when we had that snowstorm that happened in October, and basically 40 inches of snow wiped out even Halloween that year, a plan was put in place by the state that when power companies sent crews out to towns, the towns would be the ones best to decide where the crews would go. And because they had feet on the ground, they knew without really investigating. And this all broke down this time around. It all totally broke down for Eversource. I don't know about Connecticut Light and Power down by the coast, but United Illuminating. It did all break down up here, and I'm sure the next Council of Governments meeting is going to be a very interesting one, and I'm sure that Eversource will hear from the Council of Governments and the Attorney General, because this can't happen a third time.
No, they had better. Yeah, United Illuminating happens to be the power company for our printer down in Trumbull, and while they have generators that, pick up right away, they did receive power more quickly. If you looked at the numbers and how they changed over the course of day one, day two, day three. Now, they're a smaller company, but still, it shouldn't matter. They should have plans to take care of their customers, especially when, as Cynthia said, they're looking for that rate hike for an unknown reason. They should have plans to take care of their customers, especially in these emergency situations. They can be life-threatening. And I did speak with one of the line workers from one of the towns who was the one person on the ground, and he said, there's one in each town until they get us more help up here, and it's just not coming yet. And he said that, there's just a lot of frustration on the part of these line workers because their numbers have been cut while the salaries of the CEO and the higher-ups are going up.
And also the line workers, I spoke to two of them, and they both said the thing that was frustrating to them, and these were out-of-town line workers, is that they'd be working on something, and there literally would be a house next door, and they would get an order to, once they finished what they were working on there, to move on to a different section. And it was heartbreaking to them because they could have done the next house on the line right there, but all that has to be worked out in advance again, so everybody's much safer. We're just lucky that there was no mass disaster here. I mean, Sharon Hospital went for 30 hours without power.
Right,
and
exactly.
That can't happen.
And when the power was hooked back up, it was hooked back up wrong.
Yeah.
And it blew most of their switch panels out.
Oh my gosh. I mean, this is during a pandemic. But we may have lower numbers here now, but we're still in the middle of a, worldwide pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. So this editorial.
I'd say this really was sort of a essential sort of crisis that should have had more, for the authorities to say they had no idea how bad the storm would be. I'm not sure why not. Coming into it, it was clear that storm was coming right here.
National Weather Service said 2 days ahead of time, there's a tropical storm warning, not watch, warning. So everybody knew 2 days ahead of time and that it was going to come right over Connecticut. And indeed, it did.
It did exactly what they said it would. And so, to say it's disingenuous for those in authority, in general and at the power company, that they just didn't think, it would come here or didn't think it would be this bad. They were caught off guard. Well, they should pay more attention to the weather report.
All right. And in your letters to the editor, a couple of letters about the housing trust in Falls Village and their next proposal.
That's right. We have this discussion going on between two different sides on this affordable housing proposal in Falls Village. And so this week, it's pretty much responses to last week's letter. So do look at last week's if you haven't seen them, and then read this week's. This issue is important not just for Falls Village, but regionally, because affordable housing is so important to our region right now. In so many regions across the country. But here we really need it. We also have a thanks for the help when needed from Jody and Louis Diefenbacher. Don't miss that little letter. It's a sign of who our communities are and how they help in moments that it's needed. And she just couldn't have been more grateful. And Carolyn McDonough, too, looking at the bright side of she is a lovely lady who always tries to look at the bright side of life, even when she has no power. And she's looking for her mom's chocolate cake recipe using sour milk. And note that Norma Galaise has a new name, Norma Bosworth, for turning back the pages.
I saw that. And you've got a letter there from Carolyn McDonough. And Carolyn called
she
in this
just
morning.
Called a second ago.
She just called here. She wanted to know what the salary was of the United Illuminating guy, too, as well as.
That's right. Very thorough, among so many other things, Carolyn. So, yeah, we're always glad when she communicates. And, I speak to all the letter writers, so I always get to speak with her, and she's just fascinating. I'll say quickly that this week's newspapers, both Millerton News and Lakeville Journal, are somewhat diminished from their usual size because we were working through the power outages and internet outages, and we just knew it would be a challenge all along, and it was. We sent these papers off to the printer on Tuesday afternoon, and 30 seconds later, internet went down.
No, it's one of those things where sooner or later people are going to order. We here at the radio station made sure that our phone line is not a voice over internet protocol phone line because it did last throughout the whole storm because we had a backup power to power the station. But most people that live out here now, I think that they've learned two things, that cell phones aren't the exact answer. And also, if you have nothing but cordless phones at your house and you have a phone service that doesn't go out, it doesn't matter. If you don't have a generator, phone's not going to work. So have at least one phone that can be plugged into an outlet that you can have as a backup.
That's right. That's the phone I'm speaking with you on right now, yeah. Marshall.
Yeah. It's just a smart thing to do out here because when you bundle everything together and you lose everything, you really are totally isolated. And how about the people, Janet and Cynthia and Sharon, which got hit the hardest? There were so many people who could not even get off their property.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just horrible. And, yeah.
This needs to be examined, let's just say.
And it wasn't only here. I mean, the Millerton News, I saw the stories on how the storm affected the area of the Millerton News as well.
Right. Yeah. But as you mentioned, Amenia, Millbrook, Northeast, Millerton, badly affected, but came up much more quickly. We have a Millerton News office over there that we're actually in the process of shutting down because everyone's working remotely and we don't need that office anymore. That office had power and stable internet halfway into the week, and it took, many more days. So, Millerton area certainly was hit just as hard and came back more quickly as far as getting services to the power company customers. Cynthia also has a Compass.
It's
That's
very
exactly
small.
Right.
So we'll do it very quickly. Salisbury Forum has got Kurt Anderson, a very interesting guy, one of the founding editors of SPY, which, of course, for our generation is how we all know him. But he's done so many interesting things since then, talking a lot about American culture and whether we'll fall for any con that somebody presents to us. And then Hudson, which always is doing interesting stuff, that town is really it's a very creative, very strong community, and so they're doing a 10-day festival starting on the 28th with dance and art and music and talks, and it's very interesting. And, old-school artists like B.B. Hansen, but also Thea Little, who is a member of the Lakeville Journal family, and we're very proud of her, and she's a dancer, and her group is doing a dance as well.
All right, and we should point out, Janet, and you can point this out too, all week long I was fielding calls from people that were upset at First Selectmen for not being on social media, and I was saying they weren't on social media because they were out riding through their towns with their town crews.
That's right. Brent Colley, exactly, was out there sawing trees, and of course, Curtis, all of them.
Kudos to Gene Speck and in Kent and Gordon Ridgway in Cornwall, who, on top of doing everything they were doing, we're sending out unbelievably good newsy updates every single day.
If you had internet,
Right.
Well, Kent was one of the last towns to get it back, but somehow she managed to figure out a way to do it. So good for her.
All right. Well, that is the Lakeville Journal for this week. Of course, we will speak to you guys next week. So be safe, and let's hope we don't have another storm.
Yes. And I'll say the primary results are up on our website, tricornernews.com.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
That is this week in the Lakeville Journal. Of course, tricornernews.com. The web is where you'll find them.